There was an idea to bring together a duo of recyclable people to see if we could become something more, so that when we needed to, we could create the podcast that we otherwise never could. No one asked for it, no one knew they needed it, but now you have it. Black Culture Geeks.
Welcome everyone to the Black Culture Geeks podcast. This is my man SBJ.
You.
And I am Tombstone the Dead Man, and we are just a couple of geeks talking about pop culture from a black perspective.
Facts.
Facts indeed. So this is a Wayne's appreciation, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah, you just completely screwed up my intro, but
hey,
okay.
Screw that.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, he said everything. He condensed everything that I would have said into a 2-second blurb when, so I don't really
I'm just
have,
here to help.
No, that you're doing the opposite, sir. You're doing the exact opposite, actually. But it's okay, because there's nothing I can do about it. It's done. So what's done is done. Let's be solution-oriented. Now, as my esteemed colleague, that's what I say when I don't want to say what I really want to say. But now that my esteemed colleague has already filled you guys in, let's dive right into it. So I don't really think we got to explain who the Wayans family is.
Sure.
In general.
Oh, okay. General. Okay.
But might as well for shits and giggles. So basically, there's this family, and they do things in Hollywood.
You said they do things in Hollywood.
Yeah, they do things in Hollywood.
Now, as much as I catch a lot of flack for shorthanding the shit out of explanations, that right there, that was a hell of a shorthand.
No, I'm just saying, where's the lie?
I mean, no, it's you're technically correct.
All right, so I don't see the problem.
You're right, but you also so
no,
wrong.
Nigga, they do things in Hollywood. From movies to TV shows, mm-hmm. from acting to writing to producing, mm-hmm. to directing, they are basically, in a way, their own media company.
Yeah, they're one stop shop, yo, for media and shit.
Pretty much. So currently, we refer to them basically as two generations. Clearly, you know, there is a matriarch and a patriarch, but they don't do Hollywood stuff. So
they don't really count in this equation. Also, yeah. They are more family members than the ones we're going to name in the first generation.
Yes,
but
the second generation, because I don't know all their kids.
That's true. But these are only ones that are pertinent to this conversation because they are actually making moves in Hollywood and got content. Yeah.
All right, so first generation, we got Dwayne, we got Keenan Ivory, we got Damon, we got Kim, we got Sean, we got Marlon, we have Elvira. Dwayne and Elvira might not really be well known by the public. They tend to stay behind the scenes. Dwayne he's been like an extra on screen and stuff like that, but right. I don't think, to my knowledge, he doesn't have any like leading roles or anything. Right. So that's first generation. Second generation, you have Shantae, Damon Jr., you have Damian Dante, and you have Craig. Again, there are more of them, but as far as I know, none of the rest of them have been like in the forefront of anything.
Nah.
To this point. Right. So yeah, they are responsible for a lot of things that have happened in Hollywood. We're going to just run down this list real quick. So, In Living Color, and we're going to get back to that. We're definitely going to get into that. Star 80 for Love and Honor, A Different World, several of the Wayans have guest starred on The Different yep. World. Hollywood Shuffle, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, Low Down Dirty Shame, Don't Be a Menace, The Glimmer Man, Most Wanted, The Scary Movie Series, My Wife and Kids, Dance Flick, Happily Divorced, Underground, Thugaboo Series, Little Man, Domino, Beverly Hills Cop, The Last Boy Scout, Mo Money, Blank Man, and Major Pain. Also, Bulletproof, Bamboozled, The Wayans Brothers, Wayne Head, New Girl, White Chick, Senseless, The Sixth Man, Requiem for a Dream, A Haunted House Series, Naked, Marlon, Second Generation Wayans, The Other Guys, Big Hero 6, and Let's Be Cops. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is still not everything, but right. we would be all day if we...
That's a fact.
If we actually listed every single thing a Wayan has ever been a part of. So right now, the family's net worth is estimated at around $300 million.
Say that again, because I don't think people in the cheap seats heard that.
Yeah, around $300
million. $300 million. And here's the thing about that number. It's only going to go up.
Yeah, and it's an estimate. So it's not, this isn't one of those situations where it's an us thing where we feel like the people should make more money. No.
We good with that.
Yeah.
We good with that.
This works. It works. Some of the individual net worths that I was able to find, Keenan Ivory is worth like $65 million. Mm-hmm. Damon is worth like $35 million. Kim, $8 million. Sean, $30 million. Marlon, $40 million. Elvira won. Again, she's I think she's just a writer. Like, I don't think she does anything else but write. And Damon Jr. is worth like $9 million. That's a lot of money to go around.
I was sitting there thinking, like, Damon Jr. being worth $9 million, that's a lot of motherfucking money for somebody that's, I ain't gonna say he knew in Hollywood, because he's been doing
relatively
shit, but he's still relatively new, and he ain't like, it's not like he's a household name and he run around with $9 million.
Yeah, yeah, he's working on it, and he, I enjoy Damon Jr. I really like Damon Jr. When I first, I guess the word is found out, because I should have known that it was going to happen, or at least some of them would have, but when I first found out that there was another generation of Wayans that was going to be involved in this Hollywood thing, I was a little skeptical at first.
Right.
Because... there have been plenty of examples of famous people's children trying to follow in their footsteps and it not working.
Not working is a happy euphemism for y'all failed. Like, that shit is, that shit is not working. What was you thinking? You should have went and used your daddy or mommy's money to go to college.
To do something else.
Goodness,
yeah, bro.
How dare you waste that money like that?
But yes, there are quite a few examples of that. So I was a little skeptical. But once I saw Damon and Damian Dante, especially Craig and Shantae, I'm not really sure how many things they've been in. I haven't watched a Dance Flick. I think Dance Flick was the first thing where the second generation really like tried to do something on their own. But the show Second Generation Wayans, I did enjoy that. And like I said, I enjoy pretty much everything I see Damon Jr. in. So yeah, I'm for it. And there will be even more because the first generation has more children that aren't on this list. And then the second generation is getting to the age where their children will soon start, you know, doing stuff. Correct. Now, that's not to say that they're definitely going to follow in the family footsteps, but I'm pretty sure some of them is 10. Yo, it's 10 people in the first generation.
Right. So there's got to be at least 2 million in the second generation. All right, I'm exaggerating, of course. 2 million is a stretch, maybe 200,000. But out of that number there, I'm pretty sure that, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have a good 4 or 5.
It's the family business, dog.
It's the like, family business, yo. It is. It really is. And they tend to all be funny. It's the craziest thing. Like, you just wouldn't imagine. But I guess Keenan kind of raised them all.
Yeah, but you know, I think the thing with them is, what I've noticed of each of them is that they're funny, but they're at their best once they find their lane. So yeah. When a lot of times early on, when especially some of the first generation was just doing little, you know, random stuff, trying to get whatever, it was cool. But yeah. It wasn't until they found their lanes was like, okay, this my shit right here. You know Facts. What I'm saying? And once they Facts. Did, like, because if you think about it, look at the one boy, the first generation, Damon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damon was in Beverly Hills Cop. Now, yeah, it was not a big role, but it was a role that I remember. Facts. I remember, as soon as I saw him, that's that dude from Beverly Hills Cop. Now, for those of you, and I'm sure there's plenty of you that are not of age to have, you may know Beverly Hills Cop, but you wasn't there for the movement.
Right.
That shit was huge. Like, Beverly Hills Cop is the movie that made Eddie Murphy for real, like, in Hollywood.
Word.
Made him. You know what I'm saying? So, the fact that he was in that movie, and Eddie gave such a great performance as a cop with comedic undertones.
Yeah.
Yo, the fact that I still remember him, that says something. He did what he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? He did what he's supposed to do. So, like, I really think they all need to be applauded for real.
Yeah.
Because once they find their lane, that's it.
You're right about that, because I remember Keenan was... Like I said, Keenan kind of like took the father role,
yeah.
For his little brothers and sisters, and Damon was always under Keenan. And when he broke out,
mm-hmm.
he made a name for himself. Same thing with Sean and Marlon. When they at first, they was just like basically following behind them,
right?
And then they started doing their own thing. And when they started doing their own thing, they excelled. And then mm-hmm. even beyond that, Marlon decided he was going to do his own thing even more. And now he on his shit. Like, yo, it's crazy.
And Marlon, for those that might want to sleep, because he crazy. But Marlon was in the first G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
Just so you motherfuckers know, it's not like, yo, Marlon is not just the funny dude.
No.
Because when I watched him now...
He was in Requiem for a Dream. Requiem for a Dream is not a comedy.
Right. Like, he ain't just a funny dude. I know, because he's crazy and he shameless. He's from the Jim Carrey School of Comedic
Facts.
Physical Comedy.
Facts.
No, he's shameless. He's fucking shameless. Yeah, definitely. He'll do anything. But just because you see that don't mean that's the only... He got range. He got some range.
That's a fact. I was pleasantly surprised about that. So one of the biggest pieces of the Wayans legacy is definitely in Living Color.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Absolutely no doubt about it. Without any question, I think. Like,
no equivocations.
There are things that are kind of close seconds, but I think by far In Living Color was number one.
Yo, that really defined them for me. That defined that family for me.
No, that's a fact. It aired on Fox from 1990 to 1994. It broke a barrier for more, like, quote unquote, hood comedy.
Right.
Being on TV. And of course, since it's the same people, that expanded to their movies.
Right.
It helped launch several careers. Listen to this list. That is a horrible typo.
Yes, it is. Goodness gracious.
But listen to these names for anybody who's not abreast on In Living Color. Jim's kidding.
This is
a horrible.
Yo, you mispronounced that, yo.
Shut up, yo. Shut up. So it's not as bad as a typo as it seems, because it's but knowing what I meant to type.
Exactly.
And seeing
and knowing who the guy is. Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
No, whatever. Anyway, such names as Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx, Tommy Davidson, David Alan Greer, and J-Lo.
Stop. Just stop for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
That list is crazy.
The amount of money.
Nigga.
that list has produced in Hollywood.
Come on now. Listen,
yo,
I would argue the two least successful on that list is Tommy Davidson and David Alan Greer.
Yes.
So but with that, I take their career tomorrow. Like,
facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Without question.
You feel me?
Yo, you got million, like hundreds of, matter of fact, it might be a billion. It might be a billion dollar worth of box office.
Consider this.
No, I'm pretty sure because J-Lo's movies tend to do well.
Yeah.
Jamie's movies tend to do well.
Yeah. And come on.
Jim Carrey's movies, okay, come on.
So let's talk about Jim Carrey. For a segment of time, he was the guy.
He was the funny guy.
He was the funny guy in Hollywood. Period. Yeah. That's it.
Yes.
That's
pretty much. Yeah.
Jim Carrey. He was like
yo, his run from like 97 to like 2006?
Something like that.
I want to say. I'm about to double
and
check.
He's still working now because it's some series that he was on. I think it's Netflix or something. The man's still working now. Plus,
Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events that
He was involved in that.
He might have another one. I don't know.
He has another one that my wife watches, but I can't remember the name of him. He plays this kind of regular guy or whatever. And he's still doing this thing. Also, one of my favorite superhero movies of all time.
Kick-Ass 2.
He was in it. And Kick-Ass 2. And I didn't even know it was him at first.
I had no idea it was him at first, yo. Man. I swear I didn't know it was him. And then, honestly, because I was such a fan of Kick-Ass 1.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying what was going on the screen.
Right.
I didn't realize it was Jim Carrey until the end.
Right. Right.
Like, when the credits rolled.
Like, hold up. That's Jim Carrey? The
fuck? And I had heard nothing about him being in the movie.
Nope, that's the other thing, yo. They snuck that in on the show. They didn't make him top billing on that shit.
Right.
That's Jim fucking Carrey.
Yo, I'm tripping. I said 97. So, from, like, 1994.
Right.
To, like... 2003, he was destroying Hollywood.
Destroying everything.
So let me just mention these movies that came out in that span.
All right.
The Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb and Dumber. Batman Forever, again.
Not a great movie.
The quality doesn't matter. But in this instance.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't even the lead, but he brought...
It was Batman. Batman at that time was enjoying unprecedented popularity, so
facts.
Even the movie wasn't that good, he was still in that big movie.
I would say he killed the Riddler.
Absolutely.
I would say his performance was good.
His performance was good. His performance was very reminiscent. It was out of the school of the guy that played, I forget his name, that played the Riddler in the live-action TV show. He was almost exactly like him, but more over the top. But I recognize the mannerisms, all that. He was like that guy. Spinning his cane, his question mark cane and all that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, The Masked Dumb and Dumber, Batman Forever, Ace Ventura, The Cable Guy, Liar Liar, The Truman Show, mm-hmm. Man on the Moon, Me, Myself, and Irene, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Majesty, and Bruce Almighty. That run right there.
That was a crazy run, yo.
And listen to the years. 94, 95, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2000, 2001, 2003. That run right there, and that's not when his career stopped.
I'm just saying
that run itself.
That was his moment. That was his era right there.
Facts.
Yo, I mean, even Pet Detective, which he took a what potentially was going to be a shitty ass movie, and made it a cult classic. I know people that fucking love Pet Detective, yo.
To this day.
Okay.
All right. Hey there.
Got a little curve. I'm fine.
You sure?
I'm positive. Yep. Everything's cool.
All right.
Smooth.
Yeah. Wide right. Yeah, the Pet Detective, everything. Well, yo, I just don't know. Like,
and that that's came, a lot of... And his notoriety came from being under King Diamond Wayans.
Yeah.
And the Living Color shit.
Jamie Foxx.
Yo, Jamie fucking Foxx.
I don't need to mention anything else except Ray.
No, just say Jamie Foxx, nigga. Like, Django. Django, nigga.
Django,
like,
yeah.
Because you talking about this Jamie Foxx.
And J-Lo had a successful music career, and she had some decent success in Hollywood.
Yeah, she had some decent success in Hollywood. Plus, her name, she was a pop culture icon at
Icon, for real. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, that list of people by themselves. Notice I didn't say a weigh-in.
Right.
Also, the weigh-ins.
Right. Right.
One of the... And Levin Collar was relatively controversial for its time.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the stereotypes that they played off of. And here's a direct quote from Kanan. When asked about the show's use of stereotypes of black culture for comedy, he says, "Half of comedy is making fun of stereotypes. They only get critical when I do it. Woody Allen has been having fun with his culture for years, and no one says anything about it. Martin Scorsese, his films basically deal with the Italian community, and no one ever says anything to him. John Hughes, all of his films parody upscale white suburban life. That's my issue with, anyway, nobody says anything to him. When I do it, then all of a sudden it becomes a racial issue. You know what I mean? It's my culture and I'm entitled to poke fun at the stereotypes that I didn't create in the first place. If I didn't even concern myself with that type of criticism because it's racist in itself."
Facts. That's one of the best responses I've ever heard. Damn. And here's the thing. He had to make this statement back then. So you know how super sensitive a lot of people are about shit now. And to be frank with you, I'm not one of those type of people that are quick to charge people with sensitivity. Because what I know is that there has been a dominant demographic and culture here that has been making fun of everybody else at the expense of everybody else for the longest time. Mean-spirited shit, too. Not shit that always been... No, mean-spirited shit.
Yeah.
So, now that those groups that were treated like shit have a voice to say something and push back, now they want to throw the word sensitive around. Oh, y'all being sensitive. This, that, and other. So, I'm very sensitive myself to the plight of other people.
Facts.
Not wanting to be the butt of a motherfucker's joke forever and not having the power to push back. Like, it's one thing if we was all on an even playing field, right?
That's so different.
You talk shit about me and your little media shit. I talk shit about you, my little media shit. We cracking jokes back and forth. But when you got control of all the media, of everything in entertainment, of who acts, who gets to be in this movie, who directs this movie, what scripts get greenlighted, all that shit, and then you're using this to take shots, motherfuckers. Nah.
Because it should be beneath you. There's no reason for you to do. You won.
Exactly. You already won. You punching down. And the thing is, Kanan wasn't punching down. Kanan was punching a straight cross. This is a straight cross. These are my folks. I laugh at them. They laugh at me. What the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like Inception. I laugh at them and they're laughing at me laughing at them.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's a great explanation, what it is. Though. That was a great explanation.
Yeah, it was a great response. I commend that response. It was intellectual. He had examples. He had logic.
Yep. the examples he used was relevant, yo.
Yes. Especially back then.
Hell yeah.
Yo, but yes, all Scorsese does is do Italian movies
that are stereotypical.
As amazing as they are,
right?
That's what it is. Point. It's the fact,
right?
Yeah. So prominent skits from In Living Color, the Homeboy Shopping Network.
Yo, that shit was so ass. That shit was ass.
It was basically Damon and Kanan. Being criminals operating a home shopping network style shopping show out of the back of their van to sell stolen goods.
So ass.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Let me show you something.
It was basically Jim Carrey
just over the top, shameless as a motherfucker, yo. Hilarious, man.
He's a fire marshal that just caused way more problems than he ever solved.
Right.
But it was hilarious. Men on Film, which would not work today.
Hell no.
But it was basically Damon and David Alan Greer playing up the stereotype of gay men.
Right.
While also being critics.
Right.
It was interesting and hilarious for the time. David Alan Greer has even come out and admitted, like, yeah, it wouldn't work today. But they weren't doing it maliciously.
Nah.
It wasn't the normal type of stereotypes that you would see about gay people in a negative light.
They didn't try to dehumanize them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They just exaggerated what people already think as far as their behavioral and physical motions or whatever. But
pretty much. Homie the Clown.
Stop. Let me tell you about Homie the Clown, yo. When I was watching Homie the Clown back then, I never realized that one day I would grow up to be.
Oh my goodness.
Homie the motherfucking Clown.
you kind of are. No,
yo, come like, on, low dog. Key? Yo.
Low key, you kind of.
I just don't have the makeup and the thing to bop motherfuckers over their head. But what the fuck? I'm Homie the Clown.
Like, facts. Nah, I can't even. I don't have no rebuttal for you, bruh.
Yo, and see, now you talking about Homie the Clown. For those of you that don't know who Homie the Clown is, because maybe you wasn't around to watch that shit back then, go on YouTube and look up the best of Homie the Clown, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Just go look up Homie the motherfucking Clown.
Yeah, Homie don't play that.
Homie don't play that shit.
Nah, it's a fact. Definitely a fact. East Hollywood Squares. It was basically a parody of Hollywood Squares.
Right. It was more of a ghetto, parody of it.
Yeah. Benita Boutrell was Kim.
Yo, she was.
And her gossiping. You ain't heard this from me, but.
So, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how influential that shit was. People still say that phrase now, her catchphrase, and a lot of people said don't even realize what made it popular.
Yeah.
I ain't one gossip, so you ain't heard that from me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And then there was a bunch of parodies. Two of the most famous ones or longest lasting in my head are the ones of Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
And the ones of, like, Vanilla Ice.
Yo. When Jim, let me tell you something. When Jim Curry did that Vanilla Ice shit, yo, I died. I was like, yo, this shit is
hilarious.
So on the mark, yo.
Hilarious,
but the Arsenio shit, yo, this is what I mean by Kenny can be shameless too when he wants to.
Oh, yes.
Yo, he was, and this is the thing. Arsenio was the man back then. Let me say this again for y'all that don't understand what wasn't there for it. Because you may have heard of him, but you wasn't there for the movement. Arsenio was the motherfucking man. Only on his show would you have gotten Louis Farrakhan, an interview with Louis Farrakhan on his late night show. Nobody else was going to interview Louis Farrakhan late night show. Only on his show at that time was hip hop acts getting some burn on late night TV. Facts. Right on Arsenio's show. After Arsenio, these other late night shows started shit. And I think David Letterman may have also done it slightly before him with certain groups, certain acts. But for the most part, like hip-hop, not, oh, these guys are super popular, so they transcend the genre. No. He had hip-hoppers on there that weren't necessarily the face of pop culture on his fucking show. So, yeah, Arsenio was the man, yo.
That's a fact.
Arsenio was the man. And Keenan's impersonation of him was one of the funniest things.
Spot on.
Such an exaggeration. But yo.
No, definitely. Of course. But I mean, what are you going to do? Of course. Of course it was. They killed it, basically. And another one was Calhoun Tubbs.
Wrote a song about it.
Well.
What song about?
David Alan Greer basically was playing a blues singer, and he did a bunch of short ass but hilarious songs about any given topic,
and we're in that
as
shit
it just popped up.
Yo, let me tell you just how crazy that was. Like,
right
around my neighborhood, this is how niggas, when we was getting on there for a long period of time, that's what the motherfuckers would say. They would sing some little bullshit insult about your ass, then end that shit with, huh? Yo, that shit. And David Allen Gray himself, let me tell you, I've always felt like he got the short end of the Hollywood stick because he has range. Like, now, he played the funny guy. Absolutely. Matter of fact, he's on a series now. As some old dude. On some series now.
But he can actually act.
He can actually act. Now, it's this.
I think he took theater. Like,
yeah, yo, he can actually act, yo. You know when I realized that he was more than just this silly motherfucker? Remember Tales in the Hood? Tales of the Hood?
Yeah.
So he played an abusive boyfriend, baby father, whatever. And yo, I was like, David Allen Greer is a bitch. This shit ain't gonna fly. Like, yo, he's funny. No, nigga. He was intimidating the shit. It's that guy, yo. He was intimidating the shit, yo. Like, yo, like, there was a scene where he beat the teacher up that tried to come there to help the wife and the kid. Yo, the way he beat his ass and just the looks on his face. Yo, this is some real niggerish shit, yo. Yo, David Allen Greer is not just a funny guy.
But he is incredibly funny.
Yes, he is.
Yo, he is. I remember him in Jumanji.
Yes.
Yo.
Hilarious.
Him running around trying to figure out what the hell is going on is probably...
Yo, it's the... Oh, my... Yo, stop.
When somebody can stand up... Like, when you can exist on your own in a movie with Robin Williams...
Yeah, facts. Facts.
That's saying something, yo.
Yo, even
that's absolutely saying
on
something.
TV shows was funny. On Martin, when he was...
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, he was hilarious, yo. And it's like, you knocked this out the park. And
clearly. Maybe
just a little bit roll right here just for this particular episode. And yet, here we are, you know what I'm saying? I'm laughing again. Like, yo, I always thought he never really truly got his due for his talent, yo. Like, he's a talented dude, man. He's a talented dude.
All right, so looking at his filmography... You're right.
Could be better, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, y'all didn't recognize this man? Like, y'all didn't see what y'all had right there?
All right, so starting from 88, because he has movies before that, but
right,
I don't know none of them. I'm going to get you, sucker. There's a movie called Me and Him. Loose Cannons, Almost an Angel, Boomerang.
Okay.
Boomerang. In the Army Now, Blank Man, Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, stop. The one he had in the 80s, I cannot allow that to go.
What?
And I remember that. He was in The Soldier Story.
And I don't know what that is.
That movie, when you get, anybody listens, you get a chance, go watch A Soldier Story. Because it has so many relevant shit in it, yo.
So if it's trash,
go see A Soldier. Look, go find it.
No, I'm saying though, if it's trash though, what it like?
Yo, go listen. I'm willing to take all the arrows, all the spears for what this movie was trying to do. Okay. Like, yo, this shit, the Sarge. I'm gonna say one thing. The Sarge. That's all. Just remember that. The Sarge.
Okay.
Just remember that. Remember the Sarge. That's all. All
right.
Bet. Yo, the Sarge was so on point that I let my daughter watch a few scenes on YouTube from the stuff he said. And it's my loving, very forgiving daughter was like, I kind of agree with the Sarge. Like,
that's funny.
Go watch it.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right, so other movies include Stuart Little.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Boo. And I love Rocky Boo, but that movie was trash.
Hey, listen. I didn't do it. The Muppets Wizard of Oz. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Bewitched. I remember him in Bewitched.
Yep.
Okay. Little Man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. An American Carol. I don't know.
That sounds familiar, but I probably didn't.
Dance Flick, again, I didn't watch Dance Flick, but of course he would be somebody named Sugar Bear.
Of course.
Astro Boy.
Excuse me.
That's interesting.
Hoodwinked. Boy? Yep.
Yeah. Hoodwinked 2. And then a bunch of other stuff that even heard of. You're right. You're absolutely right. I didn't know that he was in the show The Equalizer, though.
Right.
That's interesting.
I had no idea. Right.
And of course he did a guest spot on Different World.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned The Martin.
He had his own little thing too. Snap Decision.
Reverend Leon Lonnie Love, huh? No,
Reverend Leon Lonnie Love was like, yeah, he had his own little shit called Snap Decision.
Okay.
Back in 2017, which is fairly recently, so man is still working.
Word.
You know what I'm saying?
He was on Damon because it's Damon.
Hold on. This nigga was on Alf, yo.
Really?
Yes. That's part of his little TV show. He was on Alf. I don't know. Probably was one episode or some shit, but
yeah,
he was on. That's from 1986 to 1990. And he was acting back in the 80s. You know, this thing was crazy about that. I didn't even think about it. When I recently saw him, he looked
yeah, he old.
Very old. Now,
he old.
That,
yeah, he is old. I didn't realize he was so old, but yes.
Yeah. I'm like, how? But then I said, yo, now that we're sitting there going over his
You've been acting since the 80s, stuff, since the early
80s. Right. He's been doing this since the early 80s, so yeah.
Kenan and Kel, Angels in the Outfield, X-Files, Buzz Lightyear, Star Command, Sesame Street, Boston Public, Proud Family, Samurai Jack, My Wife and Kids, of course. Bones, Happy Endings, Bad Teacher, Black Dynamite. he was on an episode of Cutthroat Kitchen. That's interesting.
Hold up, the
Eric Andre Show.
Hold up now.
Huh?
This dude was in a movie, a Western, with Patrick Stewart.
Called
The King of Texas.
None of that sounds right.
Yo.
It sounds like a wild ride.
Dude, basically, it was a loose adaptation of Shakespeare's King Lear.
Interesting.
And Patrick Stewart played Landburn John Lear and decided to divide his estate up amongst his three. Yo, Patrick Stewart as a Texan? Nigga.
Yeah, that just.
Yo.
I kind of want to see that.
Right.
I kind of want to see that. That's
crazy. 2002. It came out in 2002. That's crazy.
That's interesting. But, I agree. He definitely kind of got the short end. I don't really know why. Probably, maybe he did get shoehorned.
But you know what, though? I'm going to tell you. Maybe for the same reason a lot of the times that we talked about previously. With the jewels and gems.
Yeah, maybe he is one of those people.
Always respected outside of that. You know what I'm saying? They don't always see their worth. The dude was hilarious.
I just figured that the association with the Wayans might have been a bad thing for him.
It might have. Maybe, and you know, here's the thing about that. Maybe it was because of the type of skits they usually had him in.
Yeah.
On there, maybe that's it didn't highlight him enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But Jim Carrey clearly got highlighted on that show.
Oh, thanks.
Jamie Foxx clearly got highlighted on that show.
Yeah. Well, and Jim Carrey was always going to because
he was the only white guy.
It was inherent. Yeah, it was inherent that if they made fun of a white person, it had to be Jim Carrey.
Had to be Jim Carrey on there, right. So, you know, he got to show his shit a little more.
That's a fact.
And maybe David was just in, you know, he was in a shuffle.
Yeah.
With everybody else. So he's talented, man. Don't take our word for it. He's a talented dude.
Yeah.
Go look and see some of the shit he did.
So basically the Wayans family and all of their affiliates have been running black entertainment for like 30 years.
Yeah, because if you think about it, right, what's important about the Wayans too is, so there has been at least three, I would consider, Renaissance periods in black media.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the stuff that happened with Mario Van Peebles' father back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like, I don't know, the '70s, whatever. Then you had the '80s, the late.
Yo, that's
80s.
Crazy. That's really back in the day for you because you old.
'70s is back in the day, yo.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I was a little kid in '70s.
Right, but I didn't exist.
You don't exist now.
All right.
So you had that period of time. And then you had during the late 80s, early 90s, whole 90s period, where you had, it was a handful, but they was making noise at that time. They was getting TV series, you know, the actors, black actors and actresses were getting TV series and they was getting the direct. A handful got direct. You had your Spike Lees out there. You had your Keenan Ivy Wayans. You had your, what's the brother that did Media Man? Robert Townsend.
Oh, yeah, Robert Townsend. Yeah.
And so now we are also seeing
Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier. Again, now we're seeing another renaissance in that black actors are getting more looks now, breaking certain stereotypes. For instance, the whole Black Panther thing that happened. Like, while technically it's a Disney movie,
of course.
The director was black.
The director, the producer, most of the actors. Right.
One of the people that green-lighted it on a Disney board, black dude. So, yeah. Just saying, like, we have it like that. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I respect about them the most is that what kind of example they are, because they were doing it this big when you had to go out and fight to get a platform.
Facts.
So there's really no excuse in my mind now in 2019 with the internet technology and all these different platforms that you can literally just pick up a camera, do your thing, and upload that shit on a platform where potentially millions of people can see it. So there's no excuse now for just regular if you black content creator, you can't use
Go
do your thing. You can't use the whole the gatekeepers won't let me. Nah, yo, you can literally go out there and just do that shit now.
Facts. It's very accessible compared to what the past held for us.
Yeah. And that's in all forms of entertainment too. Because we can right now, if you, me, and Keith went out and recruited some young actors, young black actors, right? The people that wanted to act or whatever. And we just created skits for them, took our cameras, directed the skits, uploaded that shit to YouTube and all these other little platforms or whatever, Facebook video, all that, Instagram, all that shit. It's really simple to do.
Let's do it then.
Let's do that shit. Fuck that. Write to blackculturegeeks@gmail.com.
Facts.
You trying to be in something.
Hey. We'll figure it out. It is what it is. We'll get it all that together. Let's do a Who Will Survive.
Okay. That works.
All right. So, rap collaborations.
Oh, shit.
All right. Nothing but a G thing. Renegade, The Rock Wilder, and California Love.
Hold up. You know I got it bad. My memory is trash, and I need to have all these. So I understand. You said Regulators? What?
I did not mention Regulators bad. At all.
My bad.
Regulators! Mount up. No, I didn't say Regulators. Nothing but a G thing. Renegade.
All right. Renegade.
Rock Wilder.
The Rock. Oh, shit, man.
And California Love.
Damn. Fuck.
You want me to go first?
Yeah. I'm going to need you to go first.
All right. My first elimination is California Love, easily. Here's the thing. I love T-Pain.
Yeah.
I absolutely love T-Pain. But if Roger Troutman wasn't doing the shit that he was doing, maybe there's a slight chance that we wouldn't have gotten all of these motherfuckers using autotune all the goddamn time. And the only way, and that might help that come to fruition. So California Love got to get out of here. That is my reason. That is my...
these are classics. So you had to find something, yo.
That is my reason.
You had to find something, yo.
Thanks.
So I'm going to say... damn, yo. It has to be California Love. Fuck. Looking at this shit, it has to be California Love, yo. It has to be.
Word. Such
a dope-ass song, too. But, yo, it had... With this list, it has to be, yo.
Yo, that beat. Yo, honestly. No, it's not. Okay, I was about to say California Love might have been my favorite, but no, it's not. It's not.
Yo, but it was so fucking dope, but no.
It is.
Nah, yo. It's going to have to be. But I know who's next.
I have no idea who. Let me see. This might be a little bit of surprise, but Renegade gotta go.
Get out of my head, you bastard.
Here's the thing. I can't think of a negative reason as to why it needs to go next, but I just feel like, you know how, like, when certain decisions, you don't really got a reason, but you just feel it?
You feel it, right. You feel it.
That's
right.
How I feel with this. Like, no, Renegade, you next. All right, go ahead.
So, yeah, Renegade's next because at the time, and I don't feel this way now, but at the time, it didn't seem evenly weighted to me. At the time, it seemed like, oh, man, like, Jay's was cool, but... MJ's completely. Now, after giving it time to breathe, though, it was a lot closer than I gave it credit. But at the time, it didn't seem that the verses were that close. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I was like, eh, I like the song, but I was waiting for M's part. You know what I'm saying? For real. So that's why that's got to go, because at the time, in the moment, it didn't seem evenly weighted to me, even though it was a dope song. And even though Jay did have a dope verse, it just didn't seem to match up.
Yeah.
To me.
I got you. So, all right. Yeah. All right. So I guess it's my turn. Nothing but a G thing. You got to go. Here's the thing. So I'm on record a lot saying that Snoop is trash. and... I've also explained that a lot, so I won't do it again here. I mean, I will do it again. It'll come up again, but just not this time.
Right.
Honestly, the only reason it lasted this long was because of the beat.
Right.
That beat is
also a classic.
Ridiculous. So. No, that's the reason it's on the list, because it's a classic. But the reason it lasted this long is because of the beat. The beat is just, oh, dope. Goodness, yo. Like what?
That
crazy. G-Funk sound is,
crazy, yo.
It's ridiculous. Crazy. But it's only so long Fake Thugs can pretend. No, I'm joking. It's only so long that the beat can carry you for me.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I still prefer lyricism, which is funny because... It's a combination of things. If I was going strictly with lyricism, Renegade probably would have been the one that lasted.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
nope.
Since I'm not,
nope.
Nothing but a G thing, you got to get out of here, bro.
All right, so once again, you need to get out of my head. Because not for the same reasons.
Right.
But it has to go because the one that wins, I love this shit more than almost anything, and I always felt like it wasn't fucking long enough.
Yo,
the video was crazy.
Yo,
I watched these niggas perform this twice.
It is absolutely live. It is absolutely a testament to any creative endeavor when you want it to be longer.
Yeah, yo. I felt like that shit was too fucking short.
Yo.
So nothing but a G thing got to get the fuck out of here for that, yo.
The Rap Wilder, and for anybody that knows me, and some of the people who've just been listening to me over the years may have picked this up. But anybody that knows me knows that I listen to a lot of music. I listen to a lot of different types of music from different genres and all that other type of stuff.
The hell you say?
And the Rat Wilder is probably the only song that I've never skipped.
Yo, you can't skip it.
Every single time that song comes on, I listen to the entire song.
That song is so bananas. And what made me mad about these niggas is that, yo, why is it on? It's under 3 minutes. What the fuck?
It's under 3 minutes.
The video is, yo, I'm gonna say the video.
It's a two verse, no chorus song.
Oh, yo, listen. this video, first of all, everything about the presentation of this song. It's everything that I ever loved about hip hop.
Facts.
Everything about, like, yo, and the way when they did the video, I looked at the video, I was like, yo, yes.
Yeah.
Everything, the energy.
Yep.
Just it's everything, yo. So the Rock Wilder wins, man.
The Rock Wilder wins.
Rock Wilder.
Absolutely. Wins. Absolutely. again. No, yo, this is the second, Who Will Survive, where we were completely
on the same one. Yeah,
completely,
yo.
Simpatico.
Cause, man, like, I'm gonna listen to that shit after the show. Yo, that shit is dope, yo. That shit is dope.
I promise you, like, it is so amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are unfortunate enough to never have experienced the Rock Wilder for yourself, I implore you, go do that as soon as this episode is over.
Facts.
Because hopefully you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple. I don't know how Apple works. So I'll say Spotify. Hopefully you're listening to this on Spotify, and then you can just hit that search button and type in D-A space R-O-C-K-W-I-L-D-E-R. Just type that in.
Treat yourself.
Type that in. It's like 2 minutes and some change. It's not going to take much time out of your life.
At least the first time.
But it will change your life.
Yo, but when you keep rewinding that shit over and over, yeah.
And if you happen to listen to the song and you like it, then hit that search button one more time and type out Blackout. Type in Blackout.
Oh.
Blackout. Is the
Which
album
is another ex- yo,
Blackout get is the album that the Rock Wilder is on.
Yes.
So if you enjoy the Rock Wilder, go check out the whole album and let us know. Matter of fact, yeah. So go check out the Rock Wilder. Let us know how you feel about it. And if you do like it, go check out Blackout, the album, and let us know how you feel about it.
Facts.
That's what we're doing. That's the type of industry we on.
Dumb dudes. Bro. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing red, dumb dudes, yo.
Facts.
But, yeah, man. So I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
We want to thank everybody that took the time out to listen to the show, not just today, but in all the previous episodes and going forward.
Mm-hmm.
All that really motivates us to keep the show going. And is there anything you're trying to promote this week?
Besides The Rock Wilder and Blackout?
Yes.
Oh, Instagram. Photos by SPJ. Go check it out or don't. Also,
go check it out.
Any platform that you happen to be listening to us on, again, hopefully Spotify, so you can follow the instructions that I just gave you.
Right.
Go ahead and leave us a rating, review, follow us. whatever that platform allows you to do positive for our show, go ahead and do it. The comment section thing isn't really hitting, and Spotify don't really have a comment section anyway. Nope. So if you do want to give us feedback, if you do want to go ahead and let us know how you felt about The Rock Wilder, if you do want to go ahead and let us know how you felt about Blackout, you go ahead and email us at blackculturegeeks@gmail.com. That is blackculturegeeks@gmail.com. Also, Spotify has a share function. You can go ahead and share to Facebook, to Instagram. You can get a, I think you can get a link that you can paste somewhere and share it. All that good stuff. So go ahead, whatever platform you want, go ahead and share this episode and other of our episodes and the podcast in general, and help us spread our invisible message.
And of course, this week I will be promoting No Skullduggery, the EP. And, you know, it's available any place that digital music is sold. And also, that will be what I'm promoting until I finish this next one.
Yeah.
Which I was informed earlier.
It has to happen.
That it has to happen.
Soon. Right?
So, yeah, I have to jump on that. Also, go check out the Black Culture Geeks YouTube channel.
Indeed.
It's going to be dope, especially this. I'm telling you, this upcoming spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to see. But go subscribe now.
Yeah.
And then hit that notification bell so you don't miss anything.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I'll also be promoting the Reaper Legion Network channel.
Yep.
That's where I got most of my videos, most of my content. Everything from travel videos to science videos to movie reviews.
And indeed.
Stuff like that. So go check that out. And, of course, last but certainly not least, my photography Instagram page, ReaperVision999.
Uh-huh.
It's a bunch of pictures on there.
A bunch of them.
Because that's kind of what we do.
A little bit.
Take pictures.
A little bit.
So, for my man SPJ.
You.
I am Tombstone the Dead Man. And for the greater Multiworld Entertainment family.
Hail Hydra.
We are out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening.